that flows from those you have redeemed. Yes, Lord, we will use the words we know to tell you
give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. My, my, it's so nice to be together here this evening. And, for these annual meetings that we've been putting on for many years now. So last year I jumped the gun, and I guess I can't count. Or, you know, there's a difference between your first anniversary meeting and how long it's been since you started, and yeah, anyway. So last year we were advertising 30 years, and it's actually this year. So we get to do it again, right? This is the 30th anniversary meetings anyway, since we started this work. I had thought about putting together a little presentation, but I didn't get around to finding all the different adapters and things that I would need to go from, you know, some of them old tapes that you can't find anymore, and you know, make them digital. Maybe we'll do that sometime, but I did manage to go back and look at some of the pictures, you know, when my hair was dark and Sister Baker's hair was, well, it's always been light. It was just a different light color. We looked like children. We were both 33 years old, yeah, when we started. You know, you think that that you've got a little age under your belt, but I look back and I think, goodness, yeah. Anyway, we thank the Lord for His faithfulness, His goodness, and His mercy, and we're so thankful for each and every one of you coming, and we expect more to show up tomorrow. As things progress, and I see Brother Martin, Sister Martin, it's good to have you with us. Brother and Sister Boy Scout, they're somewhere. Oh, yep, there they are. So it's nice to have them with us. Brother and Sister Collins, God bless you. It's so good to have you with us. Brother and Sister Gadman, hallelujah. And we got some that have come from Flagstaff and some from Cholo, and we'll have New Mexico tomorrow. So far, I think Alaska is the furthest away. But you never know. Anyway, what did you say it was? Like 10 degrees back home? Something like that? 20. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's warm. It's 20. Yeah. I was talking to Brother Boy Scout on the way to church tonight, and I had a conversation with Brother Ed Hammermeister, who wants to send greetings to all of us for our anniversary meetings. And so I was talking to him last Saturday. It was minus 20 in Calgary, the other place that they have rodeos, just not right now. Minus 20, he said, but it'll warm up to plus 10 this week. Well, we'll suffer through 80 degrees. Somehow we'll get through it. Pray for us. Brother Andy's up in, John Andy's in Washington also sends his welcome and greetings and well wishes for our meetings. And so I wanted to pass that along. We are really looking forward to what the Lord has for us this week. We're in great expectation, great anticipation, you know. If you have little expectation, you probably have little disappointment, but you also are really missing out, right? My own personal testimony is that God always exceeds my expectations. And there are many times, and I try to expect big, but there are times when I'm ashamed that I didn't expect more. right. You know, because he always exceeds our expectations. Nobody can outgive God. Nobody's going to face him on that day and say, I did this and I did that and all you did was, oh no. He'll owe no man. Amen. He's, what an honor it is to serve him. What an honor it is to rub shoulders with you, our visitors and home folk, and to be together in this last age, this last hour. It's an exciting time. It's a nervous time, but it's an exciting time.
And,
we don't want to lose our enthusiasm for, we certainly haven't lost our excitement over the message and our I don't see how you could, you know, as even some of the songs that have been sung tonight, you know, thank you for the truth and thank you for the light and thank you for your love. Where would we be? I just can't imagine. Well, tonight we've got our brother Andrew Glover is going to start things off for us. And I think all of us probably know Brother Andrew, and he's ministered for us many times, and we're just thankful that he's with us this weekend. He's making quite a sacrifice. He wouldn't tell you that. But he's got meetings he has to be at tomorrow, so he's going to minister for us tonight. And then, so he flew in yesterday. He'll fly out tomorrow morning and go back to work tomorrow evening. So we'll certainly keep him in prayer for that. But it's a sacrifice that he's making to be with us, and we appreciate that.
Amen.
So let's. Let's wring everything out of him tonight that we can and send him back in a body bag and tell him sorry. He was alive when he was here. I don't know what to tell you. So as many of you know, our brother Andrew and his family, they're in, is it Black Rock, Arkansas now? Everything's a rock in Arkansas. Little Rock, Black Rock. Yeah, anyway. He's slowly getting closer to us. I think he's about half the distance that he was before. So anyway, we are just thankful that he's with us tonight, and we're looking forward to what the Lord has for us throughout the week.
Yeah,
right? Each one of these ministers has something on their heart, and the gift that's in their lives, they didn't even have a choice in it. God placed that gift in their lives at their mother's birth, and you know, from their mother's birth. Yeah, I suppose that's true too, but they were coming. The Lord knew that we were going to have these services, and the Lord knew that they were going to come. And the Lord knows what we need. And so we just want to get through everything and past everything and just invite the Lord to have his way and be in expectation that he's going to use each and every one of these precious brothers and these ministering gifts. And it will be a help to the body.
Sure.
Amen. And so... with that, we'll invite our brother to come out, and he counts the stars. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything. Of all creatures, great and small, he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the can't see the light of day, well, I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. Amen. You believe that? Hallelujah. Don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions above, but I know in whom I have believed.
Amen.
He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Every step that I take, every move that I make, how much thank you to God for that. He knows my name, around by the pain. Can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine.
How many's thankful for that tonight? Amen. And He knows our name. Amen. There's not a star He don't know, and there's not a Christian He don't know. Amen. We're so thankful tonight to serve a God that's not a million miles away, but He's a very personal God, and He's a very present help in the time of trouble. And there's one thing He did. He made us a promise. He said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, He said, there I will be in their midst. And you know, tonight we're not here hoping He's going to be here or guessing He's going to be here, but we're standing here on Thus Saith the Lord, that He promised us He would be here tonight. And I believe He's here in a powerful way tonight, don't you? Amen. Maybe we just bow our hearts together tonight for a word of prayer as we look to the Lord tonight as opening these meetings. I wonder tonight how many would just say, Lord, I surrender to You on the very first night of these meetings. Lord, we surrender the atmosphere into Your hands. We surrender our thoughts. We surrender everything, Lord. Come among us in a special way. Heavenly Father, Lord, as these believers have gathered here this evening on the first night of these meetings, Lord, as Your prophet has taught us that we're not a people that's just having protracted meetings, drawing things out, Lord. But Father, we're here gathered as the bride of Jesus Christ under a revelation. Lord, not a denomination, but a revelation that You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And everything that You promised in Your word, You're among us to fulfill. And Lord, what a great expectation, anticipation is in the hearts of the believers tonight. Lord, as we come before You, surrendering ourselves into Your hands, Lord, You see the needs that's in this building tonight, the needs that'll be represented in these meetings this weekend, oh God. But Lord, we know that You're not just a God of our imagination or a God of history, but Lord, You're an ever-present help. And Lord, we know You're still a Savior. You're still a deliverer, oh God. And Lord, You're still a healer. You're still a Holy Ghost filler. And Lord, as we come before You tonight on the first night of these meetings, Lord, Father, may the believers, may we join together in one mind and one accord. Father, may we drive out every spirit that's unlike the Holy Spirit by our worship and our praise, oh God. Lord, may the word that'll be spoken here tonight in every service, Lord, Father, may it be more than just another sermon that these men of God will speak, oh God. But Lord, may it be a conversation with You where lives will be changed, oh God. Lord, if You have to take them off their notes and lead them down channels and avenues they've not even studied, Lord. Father, may it be another Emmaus road walk experience, Lord. Father, may You break the powers of unbelief and sin and doubt, oh God. Lord, may revival fires burn from one end of this building to the other, Lord. Father, if there be anybody here that's not prepared or ready for that great going away of the church, Lord, may this be the night, may this be the meeting, oh God, Lord, that they're transformed, not for just time, Lord, or just charged temporarily, Lord, but may we be changed for eternity, God. And Lord, we commit this meeting in Thy faithful hands. Have Your way among us tonight. Forgive us of our failures and shortcomings, Lord. Change us by Thy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all the believers says,
amen.
Amen.
and amen. God bless you tonight. We say God bless you all. We do thank you for the opportunity to be here with you. And we sure want to thank Brother Doug and the church here. And amen, Sister Jennifer. God bless you. Amen. It's sure good to be here with you all again. And congratulations on 30 years. Amen. That's a long time of faithful service. And we sure appreciate Brother Doug and his stand for the message. And amen, the church here. Amen. All the years of standing right here in this community. And amen, upholding the message of the hour, we sure appreciate that. And amen, of course, Brother Doug is more than just a preacher to us, but he's a dear friend of our heart, and we sure love Brother Doug. And amen, I think he was the first one to invite us to Arizona. Amen, seems like many years ago, but we've just been friends, and amen, hunted together and prayed together and preached together and shouted together. And amen, we sure love Brother Doug. And amen, I never can think of our friendship without saying it's a scarred friendship. Amen, it's somewhere on his hand. Amen. I killed my first turkey bird with Brother Doug, and he helped me finish that thing off. And I was too busy shouting because I killed it, and he was over there trying to finish killing it. You know, I think that thing speared him pretty good. Amen. So we sure love Brother Doug and Brother Sean. God bless you, and Brother Bryce, and Brother David, Brother Manuel, the minister, and we sure appreciate these men of God. And sure good to see you, Brother Andrew. God bless you. Amen. You and your wife. And tonight we just want to take a few moments in the Word to the book of Psalms. The 62nd chapter, amen, Psalm 62, amen, I think I saw Brother Kurt, Eric, God bless you, sure good to see you, and Sister Olivia, God bless you all, amen. Psalms chapter 62, and we're going to look there, and then also Proverbs, and also the book of Jeremiah, amen. Psalm 62, and verse number 5, David here writing, he says, "Now my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." David's expectation was not from a preacher. It was from God. He said, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory." I love this. "He is the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in him." How many knows, Brother Bram says, a rock represents a revelation. So David here is very plainly telling us that if you want to know the revelation of my strength, it's coming from the rock that I'm tied to. And he is my refuge, and it is my God. Now in Proverbs chapter 24, and we want to look there in the 13th verse of Proverbs 24. Solomon here writing in Proverbs 24 and verse number 13, he says, "My son, eat thou honey because it is good." How many knows in Revelation 10 that when that book come open, there was a mention of honey? Yeah. Amen. See, "because eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste." Now watch this in verse 14. "So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Then there shall be a reward." And I love what he says, "and thy expectation shall not be cut off." So whatever is coming into your soul, amen, by what you're feeding upon is producing an expectation. And here, that expectation cannot be cut off. Now, one other place is the book of Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah here writing, I know if we were to read this verse, we could read it by heart. Amen. We've known it since little kids, probably in Sunday school. But in Jeremiah chapter 20, in verse number 9, the Bible said this, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones." Amen. His word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. We ask the Lord this evening to bless the reading of his word as you can have your seats here this afternoon. I want to, by the help of the Lord, for just a few moments, if I would take a title tonight, I want to speak to you on this, expectations lit by the message. Amen. Expectations lit by the message. And I want tonight maybe what may seem like a very bold declaration, but I just want to say from the depths of my soul what I believe, amen, is that God has sent a message in this hour. And I believe that that message has come to us, amen, by the Elijah of Malachi 4. And I believe it was sent, amen, for the purpose of putting the church into an atmosphere of expectation. I believe this message come, amen, to grip us and to move us. us and to, amen, to awaken us to the fact that we have been elected in God. I believe it come to capture or to apprehend us, to select us. Now, not to just be in a church, amen, but to be a participant in the rapture, amen, and in the resurrection. I believe, amen, that the message came to set us in expectation, amen, for what God has promised in His Word. Love what Brother Bram says. He said, this is the hour, amen, when the promises of God are being unfolded in the church of God. Now, amen, just to lay a foundation here, I want to read a few quotations from the prophet. 1953, he says, now I'll tell you what the church needs today is an old time Holy Ghost fire kindled under her. He said, glory to God, that's what we need. Fire will move the church and nothing else. Isn't that powerful? Fire will move the church and nothing else. Another place, he said, seeing the revival fires begin to dim down, amen, let us throw on wood of the word, amen, that it might kindle a new fire, that our hearts, amen, would be full of zeal. Again, he says, what we need is lives lit. What we need, amen, is lives lit, a flame with the power and the resurrection of Christ shining forth, amen, the same kind of light that he gave, amen, I believe it. Just once more, 1963, he said, send down a rain of God's holy fire and lighten our souls, Lord, with the presence of Jesus Christ. So, amen, he's actually inviting God, amen, to send down a shower, amen, or a rain of the holy fire that it might light the presence, amen, or it might light the soul of the believer with the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, you all know in the Bible that John actually come along and he said, now I baptize you with water, right? He said, but there's one who's coming after me, amen, who's mightier than I, and he shall baptize you, amen, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So, amen, it was not just getting a baptism in the water, amen, or just getting a dip in the Holy Ghost, but he was actually going to baptize the church, amen, with Holy Ghost and with fire. Then Paul comes along and says, for our God, amen, is a consuming fire. Amen, our God is a consuming fire. How many knows the prophet of God said, amen, that when God cleans his church, amen, he cleans it with fire. He said, see, God cleans his prophets by fire, not by theology or by a book of some kind, amen, but he cleans his people by fire. Amen. That's Holy Ghost and fire. See? Amen. Not a declaration of creeds or a book or something you've got to learn. Amen. But he cleans them by fire off of the altar. Amen. That's how he sets him in order. Now think about this. He cleans his people. Amen. The same way that he cleans his prophets. Amen. He cleans them with fire. Amen. But he also cleans his people with fire. He said, see, God does not clean, amen, by knowledge. He cleans by fire. He said, see, it's not a learning, amen, but getting holy fire from heaven, amen, that takes the line off of your lips and takes the carnality out of you, amen, and burns that stuff away, that dross of the world, amen, and puts his presence in there, amen, and lives through that person. The holy fire, amen, is what God cleans his church by. Let me say, people say, well, amen, we want the Holy Ghost, but we don't want the fire. Amen, you can't have the Holy Ghost without having the fire, amen, because they are the same thing. Neither can you have Jesus, amen, without having the Word, because Jesus and the Word, amen, are the same. Listen, friends, God, amen, cleanses by fire, amen, not that we can become a bunch of fanatics or a bunch of crazy people, but he cleanses by fire, amen, that we might become a direct reflection, amen, of the fire that we have been cleansed by. You know, Jesus said that ye are the light of the world, right? Amen, you are a city that's set on a hillside. He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Amen. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. So this fire is coming into the church, amen, that people might not glorify you, amen, or glorify a preacher, amen, but they can trace this fire back to your Father which is in heaven. And they can see that there is a connection between you and him. Amen. Not by your theology, not by your doctrine, not by your creeds. Amen. But the fire that is burning in your soul. Brother Branham's asked the question, Brother Branham, do you believe, amen, that signs should follow all who have the Holy Spirit? He said, Jesus said so in Mark 16. If so, then what about people, amen, who believe the message with all that's in them, yet they have not these signs? Amen. Are they unbelievers or do they need the Holy Spirit? Amen. If so, please instruct us today, amen, on how to receive the Holy Ghost. Listen, because we believe, amen, that you are God's mouthpiece for our day. Amen. I'm sorry, but I'm one of them that stands right there and says, I believe that Brother Branham was God's mouthpiece, amen, for the age that we're living in. Therefore, if anybody says we don't need fire, what they say, amen, has no jurisdiction in the church of the living God, because they are not God's mouthpiece. Amen. The seventh angel was God's mouthpiece. Therefore, we follow what he established in the church and the hour that we're living in. He said, you cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost without having an experience. My goodness. Amen. When it happens, you say, well, I believe every speck of it. Then the word is laying in there. Amen. But it is waiting for the Holy Spirit to put it to work. It takes the lighting of the candle. How many knows that you're that candle? He said, here's the candle with the wick in it and with all the tallow and everything it has to have. Amen. In that candle. But until the fire comes on it, it will not shine any light. Amen. No matter how perfect the candle is, how perfect it'll burn and everything. Amen. It's got to be lit and then it burns. He said, until the Holy Spirit with a fiery experience, amen, comes down and lights that candle, then you haven't received the Holy Ghost. Now listen, folks, I believe in predestination. I believe we were born with a seed in us. Amen. But that seed will never manifest, amen, the potentials that was in it until the fire of God, amen, quickens that seed and makes it burn. Now let me just say what he said. He said, we are not grandchildren. Amen. We are children of God by experience. Amen. Amen. What did John say? He said, what manner of love hath the Father, amen, bestowed upon us that we should be called, amen, the sons of God. Amen. The world knoweth us not, amen, because it knew him not. See, the same fire that was in him is in every believer by the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, well, I'm waiting on the world to recognize this message and then I'll believe it. Listen, you'll never believe it. Amen. Because the world is not going to recognize, amen, what they've not been ordained to see. But there is a remnant according to the election of God that has been ordained in this generation. Listen, we have been ordained to see more than just church membership. We have been ordained to see more than just good meetings or just a revival here and there. No, we have been ordained to see the mysteries of the word of God that has been sealed, amen, for seven ages has been unloosed in this age. Listen, I don't know about you, amen, but I don't think it's time to take a back seat, amen, to the fire of God and say, well, some of the people that was with Brother Branham, they're going off the scene. Listen, I don't care if they all go off the scene to their reward. This message is going to burn until the coming of the Lord, because it's not a man's message. It's not a church's message. It is the message of the King, and it is coming this age to set us on fire. Listen, that's why no matter what you put us through, we're going to burn on. No matter how far you try to put us down, we're going to rise again and we're going to burn again, because it's not a man-made fire. It's the holy fire of God. We're not grandchildren. We are children of God by a fiery experience of God. Listen, the only way you can be a son or a daughter of God is because you have to have eternal life. See, then the gene of your life, your spiritual life tonight was in God, amen, the Father, before there was even a molecule. And you are nothing but the manifestation of the gene of life that was in God as a son of God. He said, but now you are expressed after his word has come in you, amen, to light up this age. You are the expressing, amen, God's life in you, because you are a son or a daughter of God. He said, you are now made. You are sitting in this church tonight because your duty is to express God to this nation and this people. See, another place we have become, amen, from mortal beings, amen, from time beings to eternal beings. beings. When the Word of God lit our souls. Listen, this is more than just a Pentecostal revival, folks. That's lighting our feet, amen, to dance, or lighting our hands to clap, amen, or lighting our tongues to speak. Amen. This is a revival of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen, that's why we can go through hell and still come to church and shout on Sunday morning. That's why we can go through dark days and still believe God on Wednesday night, because this revival is not burning in our flesh. It's not burning in our spirit. This revival is burning in the depths of our soul. We have become the sons and daughters of God with the gene of God in us. Amen. Crying, Abba, Father. Now, when you look here at this word lit, it means to provide with light. Amen. Or lighting. It means to be illuminated. I love this. It means to be ignited, set on fire, and burning. Oh, church. That tells me the Word of God, amen, ignited us, and it set us on fire, and we're burning. Listen, amen, we're not just sitting here. Amen, we've been set on fire. We have been ignited, and we are burning. Listen, we're not just burning with a feeling or burning with a good song, but we are burning by the Word of God that has lit our souls. In St. John 11, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now he that believeth in me, amen, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, amen, shall never die. I love these words, believest thou this. Brother Ben come along and said, see, amen, he that believeth in me. See, being in him, amen, believing. Not just believing on me, but in me. If ye abide in me and my words in you. He said, now I chose this text to show you where we stand. Amen, we are believing in him. And you cannot believe in him until you come in him or he comes in you. Then you are believing in him. Then you have eternal life. You're believing on him until you receive eternal life. Amen. But then eternal life is God's life in you. Amen. Then you're believing in him. Amen. Notice this. God in Christ and Christ in the church. For it isn't you no more. Amen. It's the Word that's in you, and the Word is God. He said, he that believeth in me, amen, not believe on me. Why? It's his life. See, it's his dynamics and his mechanics, amen, that's in you, and it fires it off and makes it go and does the works that he promised it to do. Now, can I say something? There is a difference in believing in something and believing in something. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, anybody can drive down the road and see the sign, Love Divine Fellowship, and say, I believe in what that church is doing. They can say, I believe in what that church is doing. Amen. But there's a difference in you and the person just driving by. See, they can drive by and say they believe in what this church is doing, but you are actually a part of this church. You are actually in this church, and you're actually believing in it. Amen. Not by just saying I believe in it. Amen. But you're actually are testifying, amen, oh, glory to God, your actions are testifying that I believe in what's being done. You say, how is that? Because you're not on the outside, amen, looking and saying I believe in it, but you're on the inside, and you are believing in it by being a part of it. Oh, church of the living God, we are not believing in this message, amen, just by looking at those books and looking at those pictures and looking at those tapes, but we were a part of this message from before the foundation of the world, and God sent the Holy Ghost in fire that it might quicken the seed on the inside of our soul. Listen, I am in these books. I am in these tapes. I am in this Bible. I am in this message. Listen, this message is in me, and I am in it, and therefore I'm believing in him. Hallelujah. It's more than just mechanics, but the dynamics has come, and that has brought the eyes of our understanding. Paul says the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know what is the hope
of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I love what he says in Ephesians 3. He says, unto me who am less than least of all the Gentiles is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles. Notice the unsearchable riches of Christ. I love what he says. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which is from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. You know what that word enlighten means? It means to render or to become clear or to become so clear that somebody can see it. Look here what he says in 2 Timothy. Amen. Amen. Chapter 1 verse 8. He said, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me of his prisoner, but be thou the partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, see, which was given us, where in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest. Oh, glory. Listen, amen, this was in God from before the world began, but what was in him is also in you. Amen, it was in God, but it was also in you. But listen, it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light, amen, through the gospel. So the preaching of the message of the hour is the quickening power, amen, to bring the seed on the inside of you into the position of declaration or manifestation. Listen, folks, this is the bride's revival. I'm not looking for the bride's revival. I'm looking at the bride's revival. What was sealed in the back part of God's mind has been revealed by the preaching of the mystery of God in the last days. Hallelujah. I know it's the first night, but I feel like shouting. We're not a bunch of church members. We're not a bunch of chickens. We are the sons and daughters of God. We have come from God, and we're going back to God. But we're not going back as a thought. We're going back as a manifestation of what he was thinking of from before the foundation of the world. See, there's a big difference then in the sign of Jesus appearing and the sign of Jesus coming. He said the appearing of the Lord is now. When he is appearing in his people, it's his spirit working among them. Amen. Proving that it's him with them. Now what is his appearing doing? It is getting them ready for the rapture. Now I got good news, folks. We're going home. We ain't going to stay here. We're going home. See, for the coming of the Lord, amen, to catch away his bride. So what God done was he sent us the message of the hour to enlighten the eyes of our understanding. I love this. Therefore, this message, it must be received as a divine message. Now, I'm just going to say it, folks. It ain't an opinion. It ain't a suggestion. It ain't a better way to study. It ain't a better approach to look at something. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, amen, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now watch, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Brother Bram said, see, it may be that millions will hear these words or even read them, but how many will pay heed to them, that we do not know. But he who will lend his ear and want to know the words of truth, amen, will find the Spirit of God enlightening him. If your ear is open to the word, the Spirit of God will make the word real to you. Now that is a work of the Spirit. I can teach you the truth, but if you don't open your ear to hear it, now watch, and your heart to receive it, then you won't get the revelation. So it's more, Brother Sean, than just hearing a sermon, amen, or listening to a tape or reading a book, but you got to open your ear that you can hear what he, the Spirit of truth, has to say to you. And when you hear it, your heart will receive it. Amen. And from hearing and receiving, there will be a revelation. Let me just say this. Amen. There are different degrees of reception. I'll ask you a very straight question. Amen. What level are you receiving this message at? Amen. Because the level that you receive this message at, amen, determines what kind of effect it's going to have upon you. If you want to receive the full benefit of the message, you've got to receive it at the same level it was sent to you at. Can I tell you what this message is? It's a fiery message. That's why it don't work in a lukewarm church. That's why it don't work in a cold, amen, formal intellectual atmosphere. Because the prophet of God said, amen, this is a fiery message. Now, I know we're 50, 60 years past, amen, the prophet leaving the scene, the seals being opened, the revelation being preached, and we got some guys that have got on their mind, amen, that we can go beyond the message now. We don't need to read quotes, and we don't need to study what a prophet said. Let me just tell you what a prophet said. He said, the people might say, our church might say, and our brethren might say, it is the cooling off of the message and so forth. I love these words. Brother Sean, he says, it ain't cooled off. Well, that ought to make you shout on the first night. Amen. The message ain't cooled off. And I want to tell you something else, Brother Kurt, neither have I. This message ain't cooled off, and neither has the bride of Jesus Christ. She is just as much on fire tonight as she was the first day she heard it. You know what? The church may be cooling off. Amen. Preachers may be cooling off, but there is a bride on the earth who is not just in the church, but she is in Christ. Listen, and Christ is not the church. Amen. Christ is the message. I say, get your family in the message. Get your church in the message. Get your ministry in the message. If you want to stay on fire in the age of lukewarmness, you better run for the message as hard as you've ever ran before. It's the only place the fire is still burning. It ain't a man's message. It's the King's message. Remember, said, now that's how much the message means. When the man stepped across the message of the hour, it brought death and chaos to the whole human race. He said, now remember, it wasn't just a complete blank denial of what God said that he believed. It was just taking what God said and whitewashing it over or just misconstruing it a little bit. See, now watch. We believe that the first church was established on the day of Pentecost. How many knows the prophet of God said that Peter preached the inauguration sermon at the Makarot service on the day of Pentecost? He said, now God wants his church to remain the same way he established it on the day of Pentecost. Now watch what he says though, but man has tinkered with it. Aren't you thankful for a country, Kentucky hillbilly preacher, that just said tinkering with it? He said, put their own interpretation in it. Now don't you never try to interpret the word of God. You say just what it says. I don't care how, amen, it is. You just line up with it. Amen. Don't you change the word. We have no right to say those things. We just got to read it and say it exactly like it says and believe it the same way. I don't care how ridiculous it seems. Notice what he said. Believe it anyhow. No matter how ridiculous it seems, amen, you believe it anyhow. Now I got to thinking, amen, what does that word tinker mean? When I looked up in the dictionary, it means to attempt to repair or to improve something in a casual or a lukewarm way. In a casual or a lukewarm way, it is often to no useful effect. It is the attempt, amen, to mend something, amen, by tinker. I got to thinking about that. Amen. When you're trying to mend or you're trying to tinker with a fiery message, with a lukewarm approach, it'll never work. The message is too fiery. Hallelujah. The message is too fiery. Listen, it'll burn unbelief. It'll burn doubt. It'll burn sin. It'll burn Laodicea. It'll burn Hollywood ideas. This message is a fiery message, and it's a message of God that has come from heaven. It is the fire of God in the form of a message. When God sends his message to an age, that message, amen, becomes the leadership of that age. And the elect of that age will follow that message because it's what sets them on fire. I love this quote. Jesus, by the Spirit, in every age, he addresses himself to only one person, amen, relative to the word for that age. Only one messenger for each age receives what the Spirit has to say to that age. And that one messenger is the messenger to the true church. He said, now the message is then broadcast, amen, to all. But though it is broadcast for all who come within range of that message is received received individually by only a certain qualified group in a certain way. Each individual that group is one who has the ability to hear what the Spirit is saying by way of the messenger. And those who hear, are you hearing me now? Are not getting their own private revelation, nor is it a group getting their collective revelation, but each person is hearing and receiving what the messenger has already received from God. Listen, this message is not bringing private revelations where we got to go on some island somewhere and believe what we believe by our foreign no more. And neither is it a bunch of men getting together and putting their heads together with a collective revelation to introduce a collective direction. We have one message. We have one revelation. We have one direction. We have one destination. That is the rapture and the changing of our bodies. And there is a bride in the last days who is so on fire with this message. She don't have time, amen, to listen to YouTubers tinker with it. She don't have time to listen to what the devil thinks about it. She has already heard from her theophany, and there is a fire, and it is shut up in her bones, and she's burning with a revelation of what has been hid for years, but has now been made known. Hey, folks, I believe as followers of the message of the hour, I believe it's time to come. Amen. It's time to remember what we are following. Amen. I'll tell you what we're following. We are following the Word of God. I'll tell you this. If we know what we are following, Brother Micaiah, if we know what we are following, then we know what we're not following. Amen. Somebody say, how do you know what you are following? Because I know what I'm not following. Amen. How do I know what I'm not following? Brother Bryce, because I know what I am following. And Peter said that we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. We have not followed private revelations. We have not followed collective revelations. We have followed divine spiritual revelation that has come from heaven through the voice of the seventh angel. Hallelujah. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. I love what a prophet says. He said, I am thoroughly convinced that my message comes from God. I am thoroughly convinced it's not my own fleshly mind puffed up. It's the word of God. I am thoroughly convinced. I am absolutely convinced that it is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am thoroughly convinced that he's here right now. Woo, glory to God. I am thoroughly convinced that he's camped in here. I am thoroughly convinced that he will answer our prayer if we'll be concerned and convinced and open our lives to it. Another place, since the opening of those seven seals, amen, of them angels just behind the mountain yonder, this has become a new book. It's the things that's been hid is being revealed as God promised in Revelation 10 he would do. And we are the privileged people that God has chosen of the earth that we might see and understand these things. Are y'all ready? It is not some mythical fleshly mind of a person trying to make it up. It's the word of God. It's been made manifest and proven that it's right. The message of the hour that we are now enjoying. You know what the prophet said? He said, a man walk out on this message. He said, he is numbed by the powers of Satan. He is numbed by the powers of Satan. Can I just say this to you? Amen. I refuse to give in to the spirit of numbness that tries to creep its way in a church. I refuse, Brother Andrew, I refuse, amen, to give in to the spirit of numbness. You say, how do you say that? Y'all know what numb means, don't you? It means something happened and you got hit or a part of your body got affected. Listen, and it don't mean it falls off. It means it can't feel no more. Now somebody hear him right now. Glory to God, we don't believe in feelings. Neither do I, but thank God we can feel him every now and again. Come on. Amen. I'll say this to you. Amen. You can be numb and still be sitting in a church. You can be numb and still be standing in a pulpit. You can be numb and still be singing in the choir. What are you saying? Amen. Because just because you're numb don't mean something's not fair. It means it's there, but you can't feel it. Oh, Church of the Living God, on the first night of this meeting, I say send down the fire of God and burn out every numb spirit from the pulpit to the back door. Hallelujah. It ain't that God has left this church. It ain't that God has left that pastor. It's that we've been through some things and we got hit by some situations and we got bruised by some problems and we got affected by some decisions. But there is a God in heaven tonight who is the God of his word. And I stand here as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I say to you tonight, he is here. He is right here in this building tonight. He's not a million miles away. He is right here in this building tonight to break the power of numbness. You say, preacher, the doctor said every hope is gone. I'm glad the doctor told you that, because here's what a prophet said. He said the doctor may say every hope is gone, but standing right by your side tonight, ready to take you in possession, stands the eyes of faith, who sees the victory yonder through our Lord Jesus Christ. Away with Satan and his gloom. I'm sorry, I just refuse to have gloomy services. I just refuse to have gloomy meetings. I just refuse, amen, to preach gloomy sermons. I just refuse to settle down and be a gloomy, lukewarm church member when there's a fire on the altar. There's a fire in the pulpit. There's a fire in this message. We ain't got to be gloomy and doomy and poor pitiful me. And if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. Have you forgot who you are? You are the royal seed of Abraham. You are a part of the church of the living God. You are a part of the church of the firstborn. There's a fire in you. Come on, eagles. You're not a bunch of chickens. That's why the devil hates you. Because no matter how low you go, you can rise again. No matter how far down you get, you can rise again. Because there's something on the inside of your soul that knows how to shake off the doubt. It knows how to shake off the devil and believe God. Hallelujah. Away with Satan's gloom. And up with the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As a son of God, on the commission of God, I stand here tonight and say, this meeting don't belong to fear. This meeting don't belong to depression. This meeting don't belong to mistakes. This meeting don't belong to habits. This meeting don't belong to besetting sins. This meeting don't belong to the devil. This meeting don't belong to Satan. It belongs to the sons and daughters of God. We got a right tonight to do war with every devil that says otherwise. Hallelujah. The message of the hour has come, folks, to light an expectation in us that what we read in the Word, Brother Kirk, what we read in the Word can be fulfilled in our lives. Come on, Mama, quit reading about the prodigal son and wishing it could happen. That ain't a wish, that's a promise. Quit reading about the woman with the issue of blood and wishing that could be you. That ain't a wish, church, that's a promise. God is not a wishing well. He's a fountain of artesian water. He's a fountain. Hallelujah. There's a fire in the house of God to burn out all the broken, stagnated cistern water. Well, I wish it could happen. I wish it could happen. What if I told you it's already happened? What if I told you it's already happened and the only thing that's keeping you from seeing it is an old gloomy spirit that's got so upset and got so down on God? Come on, church. It's time to shake it off. It's time to shake it off. It's time to dig out the channels. It's time to make the valley full of ditches. Hallelujah. It's time to move on the first move. Somebody say, well, I don't feel nothing. You ain't got to feel nothing. We got the word of God. Come on, church. Elijah prophesied and he said, you won't see no wind and you won't see no rain, but you will see valleys full of ditches. Brother Sean, how are them valleys going to fill up with ditches when there ain't going to be no wind and there ain't going to be no rain? Ah, a prophet has been among the church. And you know what he said, Brother Joseph? He said the same smitten rock that was all the way back there with Israel was laying underneath those ditches. It was just ready for somebody to dig down to where its water could have an influence again. Somebody say, what are you talking about? We don't have to go get a new message, folks. These books have still got moisture. These quotes have still got moisture. What's happened is our valley has become full of a bunch of tin cans and a bunch of logs. I say, oh God, put a shovel in the hand of every son and daughter of God in this church tonight and dig out the ditches and make ready for the refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. There is a promise of a refreshing. What is a refreshing? God fulfilling His word. Expectation. What is it? I love this definition, Brother Doug. It's a strong belief. It's not a weak belief. It's a strong belief that something's going to happen. It's a belief that someone will or should achieve something. I'll say this, our beliefs are strong. We got some strong believers. You know why? Because we got some strong beliefs. Our beliefs are just like Abraham, who staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I love what a prophet said. I would to God that you would come under the influence that I live under and my church lives under. For we believe that God is a healer. Come on. We believe that God is a healer. Every member of Love Divine Fellowship, you ought to take a recommittal right there and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I claim that word influence over every member of this church. They don't have to walk through the doors to see what we believe. Let the fire of God be a fire in my soul. Let him see we believe he's a healer. Let him see we believe he's a savior. Let him see we believe he gives the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Amen. Brother Bram established that principle over 18 different sermons and said we get what we expect. Now, I'll say the sad thing is that many times the only time that we move into the element of expectation is around the time of a special meeting. Or when it comes time to go to youth camp. Or it comes time, amen, to go to a special convention. Oh, our expectation. Hallelujah. God is able. God is going to move. God. But let me say something to you. We should live under that same expectation and leadership of the Holy Ghost. This church shouldn't just be expecting on the first Wednesday night of your Love Divine Fellowship meetings. You ought to get out of your car on next Wednesday night and say, what is God going to do tonight? You see what I'm saying? Because the message has taken us beyond the personalities of a preacher bringing a revival. The message of the hour has taken us beyond the ideas of a denomination. Amen. Limiting how much revival we can have. I'll say this, as much as you can believe is as much as you can have. As much as you can believe God is as much of God as you can have. You say, how can you say that? Well, look at Simeon. Brother Bram used Simeon and he taught us from Simeon, amen, that spiritual principle of expectation. He said this, the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost was upon him. Brother Bram said, in that great evil day, that great day of formality and indifference, the Holy Spirit could still rest on a man. Think of that, church. The Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. Watch the next verse. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost was on him. The Holy Ghost revealed it to him. Brother David, I love the next verse. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. So whatever revelation he got, believe in going to church. Come on, whatever revelation that Simeon got from the Holy Ghost that was upon him didn't say go read Isaiah's scrolls again. It said go to the house of God. You know what the prophet of God said? He said Simeon didn't reason it, he believed it. He said why? Because the Holy Spirit found a man to believe that message, which was spiritual revealed truth. He said, and that same Holy Spirit is here today, and he is hunting out honest hearts that will believe that message. And when you accept it in its fullness, I love this, and God knows you'll do it, he gives you the abstract to it. The minute you believe the Spirit's revelation is the minute that God hands you the abstract title deed to that promise you're believing for, and the Spirit brings you to the house of God and you say, Satan, get out of my way. It's going to be made real to my heart. Because we get what we expect. Now, I love this. What faith is then is faith is the foundation of our expectation. When faith is the foundation of our expectation, then watch this. We have a right to expect the impossible. When faith becomes the foundation of our revelation, then that produces an expectation, and we have a right to believe for the impossible. For my Bible says, with God, amen, nothing shall be impossible. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, then all things are possible to them that believe. Brother said, you say all things are possible with God. He said, no, all things are possible to you. Come on, folks. If you believe it, it is possible to you. I say this as plain as I know how. God's power to perform the impossible is not coming. It's here. Brother Branham said, you just take the right mental attitude towards any divine promise and watch it materialize. Yes, sir. No matter how impossible it looks, if God said so, then He makes it possible. Oh, in order to do the impossible, you got to call on God for power of God to perform the impossible. He said, then, if we be the Messiah's servants, then we have to have the Messiah's power. Oh, church. You see, when a man or a person has once really come in contact with God, with that genuine, revealed faith, here it is, that God is. Somebody say that with me. God is. Say it again. God is. That felt good. God is. You say that's a buzzword. No, that's a genuine revelation that gets in the soul of a believer. Listen, not God was or God will be. JJ, God is. God is in this building. God is my Savior. God is my healer. God is my miracle worker. God is my provider. God is my restorer. God is my strength. God is this revival. God is my breakthrough. Hallelujah. Somebody shout aloud. God is. God is here. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God. Not He's going to be. He is. Hallelujah. When you see that, you'll change the way you praise. Come on. When you see that, you'll change the way you back the Word of God. You'll quit saying, well, someday when God does, you'll say, God is. Well, God's going to be here on Friday night. God's here on Wednesday night. Well, God's going to be here Saturday. I know it. God's here right now. Well, God will be here Wednesday. God is here right now. He's here in power. He's here in authority. He's here in reality. He's here. He's here. He's here. My expectations are not built on He's coming. They're built on He's here. And if He's here, He's doing something. What's He doing? He's leading His church. Somebody say, well, I believe in leadership. Brother said, I do too, but not the leadership of men. I believe in the leadership of the Holy Ghost coming through the Word. I believe that God also has set men in the church who are gifted by the Spirit, and they will keep the church in order. Now, I just got to say what a prophet said. He said, by one Spirit, they are all baptized into one body. And somebody say, everyone. Everyone is to be moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Can I read the rest of that? And everyone is to participate in the worship of God. Woo! Kick that Nicolaitan devil back to hell where he come from. Everyone is to participate in the worship of God. Brother Luke, you can't praise Him like I can. And I can't praise Him like you can. Brother Sean, I can't praise Him like you can. And you can't praise. Are y'all hearing me? That's why we need more than just the Holy Ghost in the pulpit. We need more than just the Holy Ghost in the preacher. We need the same Holy Ghost in the pulpit to fill every soul that is sitting on them pews and let a worship unto God break out. Hallelujah. Well, I'm this close to it. Can I preach? He said God was leader of the people. He said now God was going to humanize the leadership of himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said you put the leadership of the Holy Ghost aside and the church is nothing but the world with God's name attached to it. Somebody say, what are you saying? I'll tell you very plainly what I'm saying. The Spirit of God makes a difference, folks. Without the Spirit of God, saints, we might as well close the doors and go drink a coffee somewhere. Cause ain't nothing gonna get done of any eternal value. But if He, the same Lord Jesus, that raised again on the third day, comes down in the majesty of His power, He will perform the impossible. And we'll be talking about it years from now. Feel it on that one. Hallelujah. I think it's time to start letting the fire of God break out again and burst some testimonies. We ain't got to talk about what God done, what God done, what God done. I say, what is God doing right now? Now, I know people get all bothered when you start preaching about the Holy Ghost, but I don't think I'm among them people tonight. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says there is a sin against the Spirit. The Bible said in Isaiah 63 and 10, but they rebelled and they vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore, He was turned to be their enemy. Now watch this. And He fought against them. Now watch here in Matthew 12:31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto man. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Somebody say, what's that word blasphemy mean? It means slander or injurious speech. It means impious and reproachful speech, which is injurious to divine majesty. Brother Doug, can I preach? I flew all the way out here. Give me a few minutes. Folks, I can take a lot. I can take a lot of nonsense. But you go to knocking the Holy Ghost, and there's something raises up in my soul. It's the only thing we have left. Come on, church. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying we better let the Holy Ghost bridle our tongues again. Because Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, and to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Somebody say, well, we got wildfire breaking out, so we start knocking fire and knocking fire. I'm preaching now. We start knocking the Holy Ghost and knocking this, and before long it's a dry in there. You can't get enough moisture to spit. Come on, folks, I've been there. You got to preach 5 services to finally get somebody to wake up and say amen. You know why? Because some intellectual theologian thought he had a better understanding on how to put the church in order than a vindicated prophet of God. You know what I say? I say take off the shackles, release the restrictions, and let the Holy Ghost come back in the church and burn with fire. Somebody say, well, if we get too emotional, somebody might get out of line. Don't worry, life will get everything back in order. Brother Doug, is this okay? I've yet to see a revival break out in the church that life didn't bring some balance to it. Let a bunch of young people go to camp and get on fire and they're shouting and dancing and enjoying the Holy Ghost, and some preacher that wasn't there that wants to correct what happened gets up and starts knocking against it. Listen, leave them kids alone. In a few days, life is going to put them back in perspective. But for the sake of the generation, let the fire of God break out again. Hallelujah. Somebody say, well, we don't need too much singing. We don't need too much shouting. Can I tell you what I've come to? I've come to this. Let the singers sing and let the preachers preach. Let the shouters shout. Let the dancers dance. Let the tongue talkers talk. Let the criers cry. Let the sinners sin. Let the runners run. But let the fire of God burn in the church again with liberty and authority. Take off the restrictions and let God be God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't you grieve the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen, brother. Glory to God. Folks, I'm sorry. I'm not a polished intellectual preacher. I know where God brought this I know where God brought this Tennessee boy from. I know the road I was on and the path I was headed down. But God, who is rich in mercy, revealed to me the fire and the message of the hour. I want to shout, I'm going to shout. I want to run, I'm going to run. I've got something on the inside of me, church. It's a fire and it's shut up in my bones. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about right now. You know what I'm talking about right now, don't you, buddy? It's the fire of God. And the only thing it needs is a little bit of fanning. The only thing this fire needs is a little bit of liberty. The only thing this fire needs is a little bit of Holy Ghost. And it'll burn on Monday. You say, preacher, you lost your mind. I haven't lost my mind. I preached this message in India, in Africa. Brother Sean, I was in Africa the other day. Right now, if you was in Africa, everybody would be up on their feet. You say, well, we ain't in Africa. I know that. Like a guy called me up one time. He said, Brother Andrew, I hear you're getting ready to go to Canada. You're going to go up there and preach among them cold, starchy, stiff, quiet Canadians. Brother Bryce, he had me scared to death. And I went in there, and Brother Andrew, I just started preaching, you know. And about 5 minutes in, whew, the Holy Ghost come down. People was rejoicing and weeping and shouting and praising God.
Praise the Lord.
I called that guy up. I said, man, what have you been preaching up there? He said, well, I've been preaching this and I've been preaching this. I said, well, next time you go, try the message. It works. Come on, church. You want to liven a church up? Preach this message. We ain't a bunch of denominational chickens. We're not looking for a good idea. We're looking for something to change our bodies. We're looking for something, amen, to quicken the word in our souls that it'll change our future. What did Paul say? He said something very powerful. He said, quench not the Spirit. Amen. Now, folks, Pentecost made that about music, but Paul didn't. And neither did William Branham. You know what that Greek word quench means? A fire or things on fire. To go out, to suppress, to stifle divine influence. In other words, quench not the divine influence. What are you saying? I'm saying this. Whatever is influencing you is leading you. But Rem said this. He said, but now who leads you? That's the question now. Now we're all led by something tonight. Do you know there was a promise that the pillar of fire would be scripturally identified in Exodus 13 and it would return among the church? But Bram said, God's either going to lead the church, or the Holy Ghost is going to lead it, or man's going to lead the church. Can I say what he said? If you choose a man, go ahead. But God pulls his church right out, and the pillar of fire moves on, and the church moves with it. Listen, folks, Pentecost was not the last great move. He said, listen, the church is sealed away. The wicked are doing more wicked. The churches are becoming more churchy. But the saints are coming closer to God. So the closer you get to the fire, the more the fire gets closer to you, the more it begins to consume you. That's why churches are getting churchy and wicked is getting wicked and the world's getting more like it is. You know why? Because they're moving away from the fire of God. Brother Bram said it very beautiful. It's a prophetic announcement. He said Pentecost died and God let it die. He said, see, but there has to come forth a word of God. He said, therefore, I believe today that the scripture thoroughly identifies this great move of God in the last days of the Holy Ghost to be Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I believe the scripture. I don't care what anyone else thinks about it. I said, praise God. I don't care what anyone else thinks about it. We believe that to be the truth because it's thoroughly identified. Listen, folks, the same ministry that was identified in Christ is now identified in his bride, according to Malachi 4, according to Luke 17:30. He said, see, according to Hebrews 7, listen, we see him return in these last days with the great move of God. Said this right there in Flagstaff. With this great move of God moving across the nations of the world, gathering a people for the bride. Listen, church, can I say it? The move is on for the bride. That's thus saith the Lord. See, he said, we've got to move with the move. We've got to move with the word. Now, amen. I know how much time have I got? Let me tie this together. I know that people start thinking that the move only come to a prophet. But folks, I gotta go where a prophet went. And he didn't stay in the second pool. He went into the third pool. You know what he said? He said the Holy Spirit has been bound by these denominational rivers for 2,000 years, but is to be loosed in the evening time by the evening time message. He said the Holy Spirit back in the church again. Christ himself revealed in human flesh. In the evening time, he said it, he promised it. 1964, I challenge you to believe that Jesus Christ is revealed in the form of the Son of Man in human flesh through the bride's body. So spiritual leadership returned to the church in the form of a prophetic message. He said, see, not Son of God no more, Son of Man, come back as the prophetic message. Listen now. Now, the Son of Man in the form of prophetic message returning back again in his church in prophecy revealing Jesus Christ. If you don't fully come into that word, it will never work. Now I feel, I know he's here. I'm positive he's here. I know that now there is quickening power enough in the church to heal every person sitting here. Now here's the question, can you believe it? Come on, leadership has come, folks, but it didn't come through a bishop. It didn't come through a cardinal. It didn't come through a pope. It came through a prophetic message, which was the revealing of the Son of Man. What is it? It is the restoration of the original word, restored original headship. You say, what is that original headship? Here it is. It's a prophet under the pillar of fire. Amen. Vindicated by the word. Have you got that first picture? It's a prophet under the pillar of fire. Brother Kurt, am I seeing that right? It's a prophet under the pillar of fire revealing the word. And a prophet says, can you leave that there? He says, can you believe it?
Yes.
You say, preacher, that picture's crazy. Brother Sean, if there's anything I get got known for is preaching about that picture. But I'm not ashamed of it. You know why? Because I believe it. And I know you believe it. And here's what a prophet said. If you can believe it, then whatever God will lead your soul to believe is yours. Hallelujah. If you can believe that God's original headship has returned, then whatever God leads your soul to believe, that is yours. So what is leadership of God? It is follow the vindicated word of the hour by the Holy Ghost. Can I say something to you? Will you say it with me? We have been led to believe what we believe. You say led to believe, that's a phrase, yes. You know what it means? It means to be influenced to a certain belief because of something seen, something heard, or something read. I found this amazing, Brother Bryce. Led to believe is usually because of a conversation. So somewhere, somebody, Brother Daniel, had a conversation. And Brother Eli, whatever was said in that conversation, they took it. Now, y'all know what I'm talking about because people go have conversations and they say things. And then they come and tell you. And they said, now, because of this conversation, I was led.
Sure. Amen.
But you know what? We don't have to listen to every conversation. Can you give me that next picture? We have a prophet who was on the Ohio River baptizing, and he was taking the 17th person down, and the angel of the Lord, oh God, he came out of the heavens, a pillar of fire come down. Brother Bram said this, he said, some ran and some stayed. Now, y'all forgive me today, I didn't have this file of pictures with me, okay? It's good, okay? I didn't have this file of pictures with me, so I went and just pulled it real quick off the internet, and I sent it to Brother Doug, and I got to looking at it, Brother Doug, and I said, something's missing. Something's missing in that picture. So you know what I did? I went and found where I got that picture from. God forgive me, but I pulled it real quick and it said, believe the sign. I said, oh, them bunch of devils got to hold that picture. I went over to Voice of God and I found this picture. You know what I found missing? Was them bunch of reprobates. They blurred out the fact there was some fishermen on a boat behind a prophet who witnessed the same thing the person baptized and witnessed. Well, that made me feel good. You say, how'd that make you feel good? Because a bunch of devils want you to believe, and y'all forgive me, I'm just preaching, that this is something done in the corner somewhere, and we're a bunch of cultish fanatics that believe a bunch of crazy things. Listen, them men on a boat saw that being done. I'll say this to you, but he had a conversation, Brother Jude, and he said his John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. Your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. And he went around the world 7 times telling people about a supernatural conversation that he had on the Ohio River. Can you give me that third picture? In 1957, in Lakeport, California, he's standing there preaching the message of the hour that the angel commissioned him to preach on the Ohio River. Can you give me the next picture? And the same pillar of fire that met him as a child, that met him in Houston Coliseum, that met him on the Ohio River, met him in the pulpit in Lakeport, California, and visibly become identified among the church. Come on, folks. This is more than a sermon from a commentary. This is more than an idea from some preacher in his study. This is coming direct from a supernatural, vindicated conversation. Can you give me that next picture? And not too far from here, there's my headship. A cloud appeared. And you know what the prophet said? He said, he told me, you go back and reveal. I'm closing right here. You go back and reveal them 7 seals. He said, I met an angel in the room every day. Come on, folks. I met an angel in the room every day, and he told me go to the pulpit and tell him the white horse rider is not Christ, it's the Antichrist. And he went back and had another conversation, and he said, go tell him who the red horse is. Go tell him who the black horse is. He went back on the 4th day and had a 4th conversation, and he said, go tell him who the pale horse rider is. He come back on the 5th day and said, go tell him that the souls under the altar are the souls of those martyrs. He went back in there for a 6th day. Ooh, I'm feeling good. And had a conversation. And he come back out. And he said, listen, friends, that 6th seal is the tribulation seal. Somebody say, what's so powerful about the 7th or the 6th seal? I'll tell you, it's not what's in it. It's what's not in it. You say, what's not in it? The bride of Jesus Christ. Brother Sean, because he was fixing to have a 7th conversation with the 7th seal, and he come out and said, here's the 7th seal. It's Revelation 10. It's Malachi 4. Oh, church of the living God. You say, why do you believe what you believe? I have been led to believe what I believe. Every man that ever believed God or in God or heard God's voice expected him to do something. Can I leave this with you? Brother Brim said like this. He said, now, he's here, and he's leading you, and he's leading me. I'm going to read it to you. And he said these very powerful words. He said, now listen to me. That angel of the Lord you see is not 6 inches from where I'm standing and from where you're sitting. He said, and his spirit is blending our spirits together. He said, how did I know you was my sister? He said, I didn't. He said, but he told me you was. And he said, that angel of the Lord that you see on the picture, the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, that was made flesh and dwelt among us, come from God, went to God, returns back in the last days to perform its work, to finish up the kingdom, is right here within 6 inches of where I'm standing. Can I say this to you tonight? I believe. I have been led to believe that missing limbs will be restored. I have been led to believe that our dead loved ones will appear some morning. I have been led to believe there's a marriage supper of the Lamb and it's 1,000 miles long table. I have been led to believe, folks, that there's a future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. I have been led to believe that I have a theophany. I have been led to believe that I am the sinless, justified, spotless bride of Jesus Christ. I have been led to believe it is as though I never done it in the first place. I have been led to believe that grace is here and is stronger than the law. I have been led to believe that if I will surrender everything I am, He will lead me into the land of my inheritance. I have been led to believe that prodigals are coming home. I have been led to believe that cancers are going to leave bodies. I have been led to believe that healings and miracles are going to take place right here in this meeting this week. I'm not preaching a sermon. I'm telling you a conversation. I've been led to believe the seventh seal is open. I have been led to believe that creative power is in you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can speak the word and call things that are not as though they are. I have been led to believe that migraines can leave bodies while the word is being preached. Sister Stephanie, you were led to believe it, and it happened right there in your body. I have been led to believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not a crazy man. I've been led to believe these things. I've been led to believe that if somebody will preach this message, the pillar of fire will come right in the church. Sister Jennifer, I have been led to believe that there's not a devil big enough, there's not a devil strong enough, there's not a spirit high enough to defeat the preaching of the message of the hour. Folks, I have been led to believe. Can I leave this with you? Whatever God reveals through that messenger, when you begin to believe it, it is imputed unto you. Standing over in Poland the other day, I stood there preaching this message of the hour in Poland, right there in a little, Brother Andrew almost remind me of the uttermost. A little church up there, in a little building of a little compartment complex. And I'm closing on this, but I'm feeling good. Y'all's pulling. I'm trying to quit. I know you got more meetings. I'll leave you with this. Standing right there preaching. I did war with the devil while I was preaching. I began to preach on that, and I said, there's an anointing right here in this building. I said, if you will believe it, whatever you have need of right now will take place in your body. And Brother Bryce, while I was preaching, I mean, literally, the pastor was right here in my face, is how close we were. And while I was preaching, there was a brother sitting right about where you are right now. And I don't know. I mean, it was Europe, folks. It was Europe. And they were pulling, but it was real tight in there. And this brother literally went like this. He was sitting, and he went, and he sat back down. And I said, oh, no, devil. Oh, no. I said, refuse to fear the anointing. He's here to take you to your breakthrough. I watched that man with these eyes stand up on his feet and say, I receive it. And I watched the power of God come in that building and the wind of God begin to blow. Listen, folks, this is not a, this is not a fleshly mind. This is not a cunningly devised fable. This is something that has power. It has influence. Can I say this? And there's a reason the devil don't want you to believe this message. And I'll tell you why. When you begin to believe, he begins to lose. When you begin to believe, he begins to lose. Well, you know what I say? I am a Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, Malachi 4 following son of the living God. And I believe everything. I believe everything. I believe what I can understand and what I can't understand. Stand on your feet and give God praise. I believe when my flesh don't. I believe when my spirit don't. Let our musicians come. Because I'm a believer. I believe what he was told was the truth, Brother Sean. I believe it. I believe it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I believe it. And I believe right here tonight, as you begin to believe, devils begin to die. As you begin to believe this message, somebody say, well, we don't need all this believing. We do. We need to get back to believing something. Can I tell you what the prophet said? He said, you don't have to see nothing and you don't have to feel nothing. He said, but you do have to believe something. You know what? I don't have to see an angel. Brother Bryce, I don't have to feel an angel. But Brother David, I believe an angel's message. And whatever he said was the truth. Y'all remember Brother Ram standing there in that little hospital room and that little woman sitting there by the bed and her daughter laying there dying. Brother Andy, Brother Ram said like this. He said, I spoke. I said, thus saith the Lord, she will be made whole and she'll go home. He said, that inspiration swept over there on her mother. He said, her out of her mind in a mental condition. He said, her mother reached over at Brother JJ and slapped me on the knee and screamed out these words. He's never wrong. He's never wrong. He said in about 2 days she got up, put her clothes on, and went home and is serving God today. Listen, if you never hear this spit and sweat preacher again, hear me tonight. He's never wrong. Because it wasn't a man. It was the Spirit of Truth. It was the Spirit of Truth that has returned to lead the church back into eternity. If he said you're going to walk, you're going to walk. If he said you're going to live, you're going to live. If he said you're going to die, you're going to die. If he said you're going to be well, you're going to be well. He's never wrong. He's never wrong, Brother Kurt. On my good days, he's never wrong. And on my bad days, he's never wrong. When I'm sick, he's never wrong. Why are you still here? You've been led. Whatever he said lit something on the inside of you. And no matter how dark the days, Brother David, how cold the trials. I got a quote there. I'm going to preach it to you. I'm not going to read it. He said, cold spells won't put it out. He said, indifference among the church won't put it out. He said, if the Holy Spirit has promised you something and you're expecting it, he said, the Holy Spirit is here to lead you to it. You can persecute us. You can criticize us. You can make fun of us. You can ridicule us. But you can't cancel us. I got a quote on it. It's not a coincidence in the middle of cancel culture, a prophet of God stood there and said, you won't cancel us out. Folks, it's real. It's real. Somebody say, well, something's happening. Something's going to happen. Can I say this to you? It is happening. Can I say this? It's you. It's you believing the message. Up in Cloverdale a few years ago, standing there preaching. On the third pull, Brother Murphy Wong's daughter was sitting there in the meeting, desiring a baby. I didn't know it. But while I was preaching, I began to preach about the third pull and the power of God, spoken word, squirrels coming into existence. I said, now there was no squirrel guts or squirrel DNA or blood or hair or anything for a prophet to work with. Everything that was in that squirrel was a direct result of the spoken word. I said, and that creative power is right here in this building tonight. And if you can believe it, the creative power can work in your life. I didn't know it, but Brother Murphy's daughter was sitting there desiring a child. She'd been to the doctor, and the doctor told her, said, we can perform a surgery, you can have a child. A few years before that, she'd been through a prayer line. Brother Ron Spencer told her, said, sis, you're going to have a baby. She said, when I heard the testimony, she said, I had just settled down for the fact that by the word of the Lord, the vision, she said, then by what Brother Ron told us in the prayer line, she said, just word of faith. She said, and the surgery, I would have the baby. She said, but while you were preaching, this was the next year I went back, said, while you were preaching, said, something come over me and said, he's a creator. He can do it right here, right now. She said, I went home, and the next morning I got up, and she said, I took a pregnancy test, and she said, I come to camp last year with a pregnancy test. She said, and this year, there's the baby. I said, sis, without the surgery, without the surgery. You know why? Because the message is a creative message. It puts things where there's nothing there. Hallelujah. It puts faith where there's nothing there. You say, there's no faith in my heart to believe these things. There's a God in this building tonight that can create a faith in your soul to believe for the impossible. You say, Brother Andrew, I'm so weak, I don't have strength. There's a God in this building tonight to impart strength into you for a breakthrough in these meetings. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I adjure thee by the power of the living God. I command you, take your hands off of the believers. Take your hands off of these meetings. Release the faith of God in this building. Let the power of God sweep across this building. Let it burn tonight through Sunday morning. Let it burn on Monday. Let it burn next month. Let the fire of God move. Almighty God, we bow our hearts in your presence tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom I have preached tonight, raised from the dead. I say, Satan, you are defeated in the name of Jesus. Thou demon of gloom and doom, you are defeated in the name of Jesus. Thou demon of doubt, thou demon of discouragement, thou demon of depression, you are defeated in the name of Jesus Christ. Release the sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. 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 Let the pillar of fire, Almighty God, let that pillar of fire whip through this building tonight. Let it whip from the pulpit to the back door. Let it whip from the right to the left. Let it whip devils from one side of this building to another. And let it whip them right back into hell where they come from. Hallelujah. We surrender to the anointing. We refuse to fear the anointing any longer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As the sons and daughters of God tonight begin to push beyond the doubts. They begin to push beyond the gloom. They begin to push beyond the nervousness. They begin to push beyond the questions, and they begin to push beyond all the pressures. Lord, a bunch of reprobates on a website can try to modify and tinker and block things in this word. But Lord, there's a gene seed in our soul that was in God before the foundation of the world. And Lord, there's a people here tonight. Lord, there's some of them standing here tonight that's had to walk out of churches, but they're still believing. Lord, they've had preachers walk off and leave the message, but they're still believing. Lord, I know entire churches that's walked off and left, but people walked out of those churches and they're still believing this message tonight. Dear God, it's because they're not in a church believing. They're in you believing. Hallelujah. The mechanics and the dynamics have met. The unsearchable riches of Christ are no longer hidden and obscure, but they've been rendered evident. They've been made clear. They've come into this visible dimension tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, just as that man sat in the meeting there the other day in Europe, spirit trying to hold him from surrendering to that anointing that was moving him. But the word was greater than that spirit. I wonder if there's one here tonight that old spirit of discouragement is trying to tie you down to that chair. That old spirit of doubt is trying to tie you down in that condition. I wonder tonight how many with every head bowed, every eye closed, from the depths of your soul, you could say, Lord, I surrender to the anointing. I surrender to the message, Lord. I surrender to the word of God that's going to be spoke this week. Lord, as your word comes, Lord, as your word is spoken, as your word is revealed, Lord, as you're taking your word and revealing who I am by the preaching of the unsearchable riches, Lord, give me the grace to move with the pillar of fire. Give me the grace to take another step. Hallelujah. Lord, I've been believing for a long time. I'm going to keep on believing though. I'm going to keep on believing. I've been living underneath this pressure for a long time. I'm going to keep on believing. Because greater is the message of the hour. Greater is God in your soul than the devil in front of you trying to hinder you. Lord, send the fire. I may say, Lord, set these men of God on fire this week like never before. Let them come in here like burning torches, Lord, preaching the message of the hour. How many say, Lord, I want to hear more about that conversation. You say, Brother Andrew, what was the conversation? I'm telling you, folks, it was the message of the hour. Whatever you hear in that message is the conversation. And if you can believe it, the promises of it will be imputed right to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight, friends. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's here. He's here. God is God. His word is true. His power is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, just right now, forget about who's around you and just worship Him right now. Just say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender. I believe this conversation. Hallelujah.